It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's message was preached during a Sunday morning worship service held on the university campus. Following the reading of the scripture from John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36, our speaker will be Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. The title of his message is The Truth About Truth.
Turn in your Bibles again to John chapter 8. We'd like to read verses 30 through 36 in preparation for the message by our Executive Vice President Emeritus, Dr. Bob Wood. John chapter 8. Picking up at John chapter 8 and verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. God will bless the preaching and reading of His Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the 8th chapter of John, the passage that was read in your hearing this morning. I want to delve into this passage a little bit. It's clear that the Holy Spirit led the Apostle John to present Jesus Christ as God. That's the purpose of the Gospel according to John. He starts off in the beginning, in the first chapter, in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was manifest and made flesh and dwelt among men, and men received Him not. Jesus Christ was God. We're told in the end of the book, John chapter 20, verse 31, But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing on His name, you might have life. Do you believe? There's interesting key words in this gospel that reveal to us how Jesus is God. The word life, eternal life, is mentioned here over and over again. The word light, when men can see the light and truth burst through and illuminates their minds. The word love, John's the great apostle of love. He gave us that great John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word believe is written over and over in this gospel. If you believe, if you place your faith in, you place your trust in God and His Word. The word witness is throughout this gospel over and over again to tell us as Christians we have a responsibility to witness what we've learned to others. But there's another interesting word in here that carries with it a much bigger concept. A word that's used 22 times in the Gospel of John. It's the word truth. It's used here in this passage in verse 32, which is the text for the morning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When the Lord Jesus was talking to Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 38, Pilate asked a very interesting question that many men have asked down through the ages and even occasionally puzzles Christians. He said, What is truth? This morning I want to speak to you on a subject that I call the truth about truth. That's the title of this message. The idea that something can be absolutely true is an idea that Satan absolutely detests. He hates that thought. And we live in a generation where we're taught by the intellectual institutions of this country that there are no absolute truths. Satan's message is nothing is absolutely, totally true all the time. And he says that everything is relative. There are no absolutes. You've heard that. You hear that over and over again. And the definition of truth is really simple, though the concept can be clouded. The definition is anything that conforms to fact or reality. Anything that conforms to fact or reality is truth. And this morning, as we look at the truth about truth, we'll understand that each of us have to decide in life what's true and what's fiction. What is truth? This is one of the most important things that can happen in the life of an individual. How you look at what you consider to be truth. You see, a lot of people look at error and consider it to be truth. And I think that we can see that easily in this message. Our text reveals a very simple answer. If you continue in my word, in this book, in the Bible, the word continue in the original language in the Greek is a legal term. It literally means if you remain in agreement with. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for just a minute. If you remain in agreement with God's book, with God's word, which is synonymous with Jesus and Jesus synonymous with God, if you are in agreement with this book, you will know the truth. And that truth will make you free, free from a lot of things. And we're going to discuss a few of those things this morning. This is how God intends for us to establish truth. One way, through His Word. He's maintained it for us all these years. He's kept it for us. It is absolute and complete truth, regardless of what man says about truth. Any slight deviation of truth causes it not to be truth any longer. It's destroyed. Now, let's look for just a minute at man's opposition to absolute truth. The society in which we live, which has taken up this theme of opposition against absolute truth, that is really opposition to God, because the Bible tells us He is the truth, the way, and the life, and that this book is the truth. So any opposition to the fact that there's absolute truth is open opposition toward our God. Now, men's arguments are pretty interesting. You know, just look around our society. There's battles about the Ten Commandments in courtrooms, people saying they shouldn't be there, battles about a cross on a hill in California, battles about prayer in public school, battles about reading the Bible in public school. Can't you see the battle that's going on in the world? It has been going on since the beginning of the earth. Back 800 years before Christ, in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, a group of men said, "There is no God." Well, this argument has always been here, and as long as we're on this earth, it always will be here. When you come to this Ten Commandments argument, I think it's very interesting what the lawyers said who were arguing that the Ten Commandments should not be shown in a courtroom that is part of the federal system of our nation. Here's the argument. God would be unjust in imposing a standard upon humanity that He knows they can't fulfill. Now, isn't it interesting that those who oppose God use God in their argument? And they say, God wouldn't give us a set of rules that no man can keep. But you see, these people are ignorant toward the fact that God gave us these commandments as a schoolmaster. We're told in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, "But before faith came we, were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should be afterwards revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You know, that lawyer was right. Nobody can keep all 10 of the commandments all their life perfectly. But that's what God stepped into the picture for and gave us Jesus Christ as our substitute. My dad used to say to me, men who appear to be intelligent, who want to appear to be intelligent, make simple things complex. But men who are truly intelligent make complex things simple. Here, the truth is simple. It's anything that's in agreement to fact or reality. But the truth about truth has been so clouded in our society as men argue against the fact there's no absolute truth. Let me read you some words of John Dewey, the father of humanism, who lived from 1859 to 1952. He said, "There is no God, there is no soul, hence there is no need for the props of traditional religion. Immutable truth is also dead and buried." Interesting concept. "There is no room for fixed natural law or moral absolutes. Humanists believe that one should do as one feels is right. Guided by your own human intellect, doing what you feel is right." Now think what the world would really be like if everybody decided to do just what they thought was right. Well, there are many people who think it's not right for some people to have money when they don't have money. So they take the money from those that have money. And under this system, that's justifiable. You can excuse that. You are seeing laws changed in accord with the thought that there are no absolute truths today. Man is fighting that. Look at the reasoning. There's no absolute truth. One man, one humanist who was debating this topic, said to his listeners, "There is no absolute truth." And one of the hearers said, "Are you sure about that?" And he said, "Absolutely, I'm sure about that." Well, he made apparent what he is, a fool. A man who's ignorant. And many of the arguments we see today are arguments of ignorance. But you know what? Christians are subject sometimes to fall prey to these foolish arguments. There are many philosophers who've spent countless hours writing countless volumes on the meaningless of everything. Nothing really means anything. Why do men fight truth so much? Because the truth is, God is real. God created us. God created this universe in which we live. God gave us His Son for our salvation. God wants us to live with Him eternally. Those are truths that Satan can't stand and doesn't want to live with. Well, here's God's argument, the Master's arguments, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened as they left truth." Well, look around. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way of life. I am the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And this book is truth, the whole truth." My great concern today is the fact that Christians do not hold this concept in as high accord as they ought to. We have the truth in our hands, this great work of God. Well, what is the origin of absolute truth? It's the Bible. The Bible is the origin of absolute truth. It is absolutely true. Do you have to understand it all in order to say it's true? No, you don't have to understand it all. You really can't understand it all because it goes beyond the comprehension of human mind sometimes. God says the way up is down. The way to have things is give to others. These are contradictory in the thought of the philosophy of the world in which we live. But the origin of truth is the Word of God. Continue in my word. Continue to agree with me. This is how simple it is, young people. God has given you His Word in the Scripture. He has inspired men to write this. He has preserved this book through thousands of years, though Satan has tried to destroy it in many nations, in many ways, over all the years. It's still here. It's still the best-selling book in the world. That's truth. And yet, men argue against that truth. This truth was created by God. God is truth. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now listen to this. God, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Does it thrill your soul to know that as born-again believers, having the Word of God in your hand and the Spirit of God in your heart, you have the truth? You're holding the truth? But that brings me to another thought. If you have the truth and you hold the truth in your hand, and it's the truth of all ages, then what are you doing with it? How is it affecting your life? Do you find yourself disagreeing with the Word of God? Remember, to continue in means to be in agreement with. When you're not in agreement with, you're not accepting truth. And what are we not in agreement with? We're not in agreement with the things that we don't want to do. We're not in agreement with things we do want to do that the Bible tells us not to do. So born-again believers oftentimes fail in using the full benefit of the truth of God in this Word because they disagree with this Word. And then John 15:26 says, when the Comforter is come, I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, shall testify of me. Who is the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. Part of the Trinity. Jesus is the truth, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is the truth, and the Spirit of truth, the Bible says. God is truth, the Bible says. So when you're looking for truth, you find truth in God. And yet man today is rejecting the thought of truth. John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you in all truth. How do you know truth? You follow the leading of the Spirit of God as He speaks to you out of this book. Well, how excited are you about this truth God has preserved for you? Do you find devotions to be somewhat of a task? Do you read the book and say, I don't get anything out of it, it doesn't mean anything to me? My friends, you're in big trouble if you don't get anything out of it. Because if you're a born-again believer, God has placed His Spirit, the author of the book, in your heart, so that all problems of line loss and communication have been taken care of by the way God has presented His Word and given us the author to live with us. And yet we can argue with that. And yet we don't study that. God is wanting to get truth to us. His desire is to get truth for us. That's why He created truth. That's the truth about truth. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ is all of truth. And if you don't believe that, you don't live that, either you're not born again or you're away from God. And I think many Christians today in our society have been swayed by the arguments of Satan that there are no absolute truths, that there are no absolutes in life. That's simply not true. Now, you know, the Bible says of Satan that he's a liar and the father of all lies. You live in a world where you have to make some very critical decisions that affect your forever, your eternity. Dr. Bob Senior used to say that the greatest thought that ever crossed his mind is that he would have to live somewhere forever. Guess what? You're going to live somewhere forever. Are you going to be in agreement with your Creator? Are you going to be at odds with your Creator? This truth is communicated by God's Word, according to verse 31. You continue my words, you'll know the truth. Psalm 119, 160. Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of my righteous judgments endureth forever. That's a good statement, because it also tells us in Psalm that the Word of God is settled forever. There are no additions to this Bible. There are no detractions from this Bible. It has been since it was completed truth, and it will be throughout all eternity truth. It endureth forever. It's always going to be here. You can accept it or you can reject it. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the experience of salvation. The experience of salvation comes when we accept truth. Remember, Jesus Christ is truth. So when we accept that truth, we're converted. And we hold in our hand all truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through my truth, for my word is truth. Sanctify. That's a word that in our society has about lost its meaning. But it does have a very simple meaning. To sanctify someone means to clean them up and prepare them for a holy calling. How do you get cleaned up and prepared for a holy calling from God? Through this word. This word is a catalyst that God uses to sanctify us as He speaks to us about His view of the universe, His view of right and wrong, His view of life. How do you accept that? Well, the last thing I want you to look at is the operation of absolute truth. What does truth do? Well, the Scripture's clear. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What does it mean to be free? Free from what? Well, there are a number of things truth will free you from, but I just want to look at two of them quickly this morning. Truth will free you from ignorance, from not knowing. Ignorance means to be destitute of knowledge. Is there a time when men have been destitute of knowledge? Oh, if you just read back through the history books, if you just look at man's history, you will soon realize how basically ignorant man really is. I think about all the argument that the world was flat prior to 1492. Many writers wrote about how the world was flat. Be careful when you go out in your boat because you might just sail off the end of it. Well, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And guess what he proved? He proved the world was round. Well, that was an amazing discovery, wasn't it? What a smart thing man is to find out in 1492 that the world is round. Isaiah 40:22. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Wait a minute. Isaiah 40:22, written in 714 B.C., found a complete book of it in the Qumran caves along with the Dead Sea Scrolls, dated by carbon-14 dating method. Guess what? It was true. Now here, God had told us 2,206 years before man discovered the world is round, that the world is round. We need to look at man as he is. Man has a problem with ignorance. And as we go through life, we make discoveries and we get all excited about discoveries. But the world was always round. It was round from the time that God created it. Now, a lot of theories came up. One theory was that one of the Greek gods named Atlas held the world up on his shoulders. I don't know why he never got tired. I don't know why he never dropped it. I don't know where it would have gone if he dropped it. But that was a theory. Well, they got kind of concerned about that theory because it looked a little bit ignorant, so they came up with another one. They decided the world sits on the back of a giant turtle on his shell. and travel through space on a turtle. Well, it's strange because the Earth's moving at 22,000 miles an hour, and I never saw a turtle that fast in my life. But you know what? That was generally accepted as truth. For years, those foolish things were accepted as truth. And yet the Bible had already told these men 2,206 years earlier what the truth was. What happened? Men don't accept the truth of Scripture. Another glaring example to me, George Washington, our first president, died in 1799. You know how he died? He was sick. And the doctors during that day, the medical doctors, were practicing bleeding. Now look what happens if you get a partial truth and not all the truth. As man began to discover how the human body worked, he realized that diseases travel through the blood. Well, these great intellectual men of that day said, pretty simple. Guy gets sick, we just drain a little blood out of him and the sickness comes out with the blood. Is that a partial truth? Well, yes, the sickness is in the blood and other systems within the body. But if you only get that truth half right and it becomes not a truth, you end up like poor George Washington. They bled him to death. He died under the guise of the truth of medical science. All they had to do was read Leviticus 17:1. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And you know what? If they'd have known that, they'd have known better than to drain it out and cause the death of the first president of this great nation. Well, actually, the Bible only told them that 3,289 years before the physicians killed George Washington. Don't we need to be free from ignorance? Look at all the discoveries we're making in our generation. Young people, there have been many generations that few discoveries are made, but now discoveries are made everywhere. But these great truths have always been there. There is no new truth. There is discoveries of old truth, but no new truth. Here's another one that really interests me. Psalm 139, David speaking, wrote this psalm about 810 B.C., "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when there was yet none of them." Pretty interesting. Written 810 B.C., subject of that writing, genetics. God had written all of my members, all of my parts in a book prior to any of them being there. And in continuance, the DNA chain. Well, 1969, medical science started getting excited about genetics. They said, boy, we're discovering some wonderful new things in genetics. By 2005, we had already mapped the human genome. And wow, we're beginning to create new drugs. And do you know how new drugs are being created? They take the natural body defense mechanism, whatever the body creates in defense of a particular disease, and they clone that disease and clone that antibody, and they take that antibody and make it a drug to cure men. They're actually curing illnesses with the product that God put in our body to cure illnesses. Well, I think they gave the Nobel Prize to the wrong man. They should have given it to David. And should have given it to him 2,815 years before man stumbled over that truth. Truth does away with ignorance. Many people hold the same kind of ignorant beliefs today. How do you abolish ignorance? By knowing the Word of God. Read your Bible, the book of truth. The book that claims to be truth. Don't argue with truth. Be in agreement with truth. Not only will it free you from ignorance, and I could go on and on about the foolish mistakes men have made, but but it'll free you from idolatry, which is one of the most important things in Scripture. What do you worship? The word worship comes from two old English words, worship, and it means to ascribe to a person their proper worth. Do you ascribe to God His proper worth in your life? If you do, you're worshiping God. But if you're living contrary to this book, you are not worshiping God. You're bringing dishonor to the name of your Creator and your Savior. And I'm afraid all too many Christians are living that way today. Leviticus 19:4, turn ye not unto idols, nor make unto yourselves molten gods. I'm the Lord your God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Philippians 3:3, for we are circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. What do you worship? Do you worship fame, fortune, money, power, prestige? What do you worship? The Bible tells us clearly who to worship and why to worship God and what not to worship. You see, man is ignorant about God and who He is and what He's done for us and what He does for us. Who do you consider, or what do you consider important enough in your life to worship? I meet Christians every day who claim to be saved, claim to know God, and yet they place priorities on things other than God in their life. They put money in front of God, or they put power in front of God. If you're a Christian, you should put nothing in front of God. You should worship God. And the Bible teaches you that. And that's a central truth of Scripture. But it's a truth that we often overlook. Well, this is the truth about truth. What a big subject. What a monstrous subject to try to deliver. I must admit to you, as I thought on this message this week, it would keep me awake at night. During the day, I'd have little snippets of thoughts I wanted to put in here. I could have kept you here all day today, talking about the great subject of truth, because my God is truth. And He has absolute truth in this book. How many of the lies of Satan have you believed? How many times have you not been in agreement with this marvelous book that God's preserved for us? It's very important that you know and accept truth. It's where you find peace for your life, in knowing and accepting the truth of God.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.